You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hello, everyone. This is Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast, and I am joined by my very good friend, Andrew Malloy. And Andrew has got a very unique background, particularly as we get ready for the Healthcare Impact Investing Summit on the 13th of July. And Andrew and his network have been a great partner getting this ready and attending this. But Andrew has, as I said, a very unique background, not only having worked with family offices and in finance for his career, but also having been part of his own family's family office. And so he brings very unique perspective to everything we're doing. Andy, as always, it's great to see you.
Good to see you too, Tobin. Appreciate it.
Andrew, let's just talk for a few minutes. Why don't you give a little bit more about your background, some of the highlights, and then we'll kind of jump into some of your experiences with family offices.
So my background, I'm actually the oldest of a third generation of a family from New York. We grew up in the retail, luxury retail business. And although we sold that in the late 70s, unfortunately, I was in university. So went to Wall Street and grew up at a place called Bear Stearns in the early 80s. In fact, all the way through the 80s. I was trained on various proprietary trading desks, worked for a guy named Ace Greenberg, who at the time was the chairman of Bear Stearns, ultimately setting up a hedge fund platform at Bear Stearns. And in fact, 1986 started a fund of hedge funds originally for the Loeb family. John Loeb had sold Shearson Loeb Rhodes and understood the value of alternative investing. We used to call it non-traditional back then. Went to work for John Loeb in 1989, actually along with my boss, I should say. I really carried his briefcase or his golf bag, depending on what he was doing. Worked at Loeb Partners for quite a while, set up an alternative investment platform there, continued to manage the fund, which was $100 million just for the Loeb family itself. I then was recruited by a large multifamily office that was started for Steve Ross and the senior executives of Warner Brothers, which became Time Warner, AOL Time Warner, as everyone knows, Turner, et cetera, et cetera. I went as CIO to Tag Associates in 1992, became a partner in 93, and we sold that business in 2002. To an affiliate of Goldman Sachs. I then actually ended up reverting back to the Loeb family, where they started a hybrid hedge fund seeding business, which was part of their world before that. So I was very fortunate to grow up around a lot of people who had been on Wall Street for many years, understood good talent in the form of proprietary traders and people that could build alternative asset management firms. In any case, we sold that business in 2005. We were an original investor, we meaning actually not only the firm, the Loeb's, but myself as well, in WisdomTree, which was in those days a new kind of fintech, if you want to use that term. That's the term it was used back then, which was to create indexes that were not just cap weighted. They were fundamentally weighted. And so we built that business, and it is still around, obviously. Yeah. But in general, I have stayed in the family office world as a family office CIO. My own family has our own family, single family office in New York. So we manage a, you know, let's just say a nine-figure portfolio of alternative investments for the family and various trusts. We also own real estate in Manhattan, which is a byproduct of the retail business. So I guess in a sense, not only working in the family office business and the alternative investment business, private equity, my uncle's been a venture capitalist since 1973. So very familiar with, which is what drew me to AngelMD actually, and the platform there. Kind of converting and democratizing that business from the kind of traditional way of doing things to a more digital way, I think is a point taken originally. And that's really it. So family office guy, alternative investment guy, still work with a lot of family offices, helping them to kind of look through pretty much everything from structure, strategic, set up a family office, don't set up a family office, where do you go, what do? How many generations, and on the investment side as well.
Well, that's why it's always so fun to chat with you about a whole variety of things, because you've got such a wide lens. And so, when you think about the family office and the families that they represent or work for, obviously the family's made their money in some particular industry typically. And so from an investment perspective, they still want to grow their assets typically, or at least not lose their assets. My experience is they also have an interest in staying current. They like interesting things, as you've kind of pointed out, with alternatives. And then thirdly, they're thinking about legacy. And so oftentimes, if they can align their investments such that they can do well and do good at the same time, that seems to be something that's fairly interesting on a consistent basis. What's your experience been with that level of interest around what, today people refer to as impact investing?
It's a good question. I think impact investing has gone a long way in the last, let's call it, decade. I think Wall Street has it wrong, to be very honest with you, but that's just my nature, having been on Wall Street. They're always looking to set up products around different things. But the impact investing ecosystem has really a lot to do with the person looking at it. I mean, it's really kind of in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, a decade ago, it was maybe putting some money with a small firm that's drilling fresh water wells in Africa, to perhaps the other end of the spectrum where AngelMD sits, which is healthcare, med tech, biotechnology, and all of those things. I think there's a great saying actually that you taught me, which was, it's perhaps obvious, but a lot of people don't think about it. You spend your first dollar and your last dollar on healthcare. I'm also at the age where I've seen, family members go through a lot of different things, in terms of that last dollar, so to speak. But in terms of impact investing, it has been, there is a legacy there. There is an ability to touch many, many, many lives through investing in various types of healthcare, whatever that might be. But again, I find it is definitely very different depending on who you speak to. And what that family office does. I will, full disclosure, I'm on the board of National Jewish Health. In fact, our family's been involved, as since the 70s. That's a 120-year-old, research hospital that's been around for quite a while. And it's quite interesting to see all of the research that comes out of various, medical institutions and what's happening today. But there is definitely an acceleration into whether it's seed, A round, venture capital, growth investing into that healthcare space.
Well, and you've recently through this COVID pandemic has had probably more exposure to healthcare than ever. So it's become, if it wasn't necessarily top of mind 2 years ago, it's been, topic of conversation. And you've had firsthand experiences dealing with the healthcare system. So how have you seen, with family offices that you interact with, has this heightened a sense of at least interest and awareness, whether not necessarily investing, but at least in terms of staying current and understanding kind of, what's what out there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I know we all talk about it and you hear it on the news. COVID has changed everything. It's really quite interesting. I mean, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, we were thinking of telehealth as this concept. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me that, now it's a normal thing. Right. That, I mean, even my own doctor just says, by the way, we'll just do you know, a Zoom call and talk to each other in 4 or 5 weeks. You don't have to come in. So something like that is a good example of the acceleration of various forms of healthcare and health tech, AI, obviously, data cloud migration, and how many of these small companies can use all of that information. It's quite amazing. So the answer is yes. There's been a major, I don't know if it's shift, but it's definitely a massive acceleration.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, you mentioned Wall Street takes their approach to things, and you know, BlackRock and others have been in the news lately getting a lot of flack for their quote ESG strategy. And the Wall Street Journal in particular had a pretty scathing op-ed back in May saying these are effectively social engineering programs that'll also allow these firms to extract high fees at the expense, frankly, of pension fund owners, that is middle class workers. But you know, when we think about impact investing, you know, is it something that you hear from families that they sincerely want to have double bottom line investing? Or is it something that you hear people talk about politely, but in reality, they don't necessarily act? You know, or what's the reality on the ground?
Yeah, on the ground, it's definitely the latter of the two. Now, again, I'm fortunate enough to know many single family offices, which are, as you know, different than multifamily offices in terms mm-hmm. of how they, I don't want to use the word aggressive, but how direct it is for them to be able to invest without having to deal with investment committees and everything else. You know, the wealth management world is just a different world. You know, my experience, certainly over 40 years, what have you, and on Wall Street is that, if there is an opportunity, whether it's the old days of rat fee programs or whether it was socially acceptable portfolios, you know, I remember in the 90s, we had many families saying, oh, we want to be socially responsible, you know, SRPs, as they call them. And the question usually was, do you want to make money or do you want to be socially responsible? Because in those days, if you looked at the Dow, every component was either in tobacco or weaponry or something. And the answer was usually, oh, well, we'd like to make money and do both. But on the ground, for sure, I think there's a lot more private investing for sure. I know. There's a lot more private investing. It's getting away from that. But again, don't ever... you know, don't ever think that Wall Street is not going to take an opportunity if they think it's big enough and start moving into that space. I think you're right, though. It's definitely something that is much more customized. Many, many family offices, many of the ones I know at least, have investment policy statements. They're much more like endowments and foundations today than they ever were. So that is something that's, you know, that doesn't necessarily work for them.
How much of that strategy, by the way, to the extent that they have an interest in healthcare, is at least initiated, if not driven by a family member who's got some, you know, issue? Let's say, for example, grandma passed away from some type of cancer, let's say breast cancer, or there's a kid with autism in the family. And so, again, depending on those types of things that may impact and drive, you know, we want to invest and participate in this particular area versus, is that something that you see as common?
Not only is it common, I would argue that it's been around for hundreds of years and probably will always continue. You're absolutely right. I mean, certainly I can even speak for my family with, you know, various issues with diabetes or Asperger's or all kinds of different things. And I can tell you that is definitely a catalyst for many families, either to just get into the healthcare world if they've never been in it, but definitely to focus. That's usually, in fact, quite frankly, and you put it well, Tobin, that is kind of the initial input, I would say. Or the initial catalyst to many families getting involved in investing in healthcare, biotech, med tech, what have you, or even, and it can be, It can be, in a way, a little different. Many of them, of course, are on boards of various hospitals or various universities. They may see some IP coming out of those universities, and they say, oh my gosh, you know, that's something that, you know, we're sensitive to because we've seen that in our family. It's definitely when you get down into the second, third, fourth generation, I would argue, because the first generation typically, you know, the wealth creators don't necessarily, they're not necessarily that focused on, you know, what's happened, you know, with the rest of the family.
Yeah. Well, they were focused on building something typically, and right. You know, it was that myopic focus that typically made them successful, at least part of what made them successful.
Well, Andy, and I'll give you, by the way, something that popped in my head. I mean, I think of out here in Colorado, the Anshin's UC Health, you know, campus, which is massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't know that there's a little place next door, actually, but it is part of UC Health, called Cedar, which is actually for alcohol and and addiction in general. I do some volunteer work there, and I can tell you that the reason it's there is because a number of the Anshin's family members had issues with various forms of addiction. Mm. And it's not really a joke, but in the family office world, you know, typically you will hear things like, you know, you don't see municipalities building, you know, addiction centers other than hospitals, perhaps. Okay. It's usually wealthy families. I mean, in fact, around the country or the planet for that matter.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a good point. Well, you know, the whole goal of at least the primary goal for setting up the event Tuesday, and there'll be follow-on events each quarter with this growing coalition of people, was that, you know, our experience over time was that a lot of family offices have this interest in healthcare, but it's a complex space, to be frank. It's technical, there's a lot of regulation, and so it's not for the faint of heart. And most groups don't have the resources internally to necessarily figure out how to engage. And so we wanted to demystify some of the aspects of healthcare, bring various different folks to these events. We've got some great speakers, including physicians who run funds, people who run funds that aren't physicians. We've got incubators, accelerators, some really, really great groups, payers that are all stakeholders in this ecosystem. And so one of the outcomes is for the family offices that attend and or watch the recorded materials to feel like they get a better understanding of some of the key trends in healthcare. They have some names now and resources of other folks in the industry. And, you know, as always, Angel and Dee, our goal and our job is to be a connector. But the story is not about us. Our story is the story of bringing these different people together. But Andrew, thanks for spending a few minutes today and just kind of setting the table for the Tuesday event. And, you know, there's a ton of things we can chat about over time and maybe get some different families on the program and talk about their experiences with the goal of, you know, as a community, getting smarter together. That's the whole objective. But thanks, as always, for your time and for your wisdom.
Pleasure, Tobin, and I look forward to the next time we get a chance to look at some of the interesting people that you guys always bring to the table. It's always fun and very, very interesting. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.